Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome you tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, I guess that is a cold open. Hello, good evening, how is everyone? This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And it's not like we don't have anything to talk about tonight, is it? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's been an interesting day, to say the least. Now, before we get into all of this, which is a lot, which is, I think, the manifestation of what we talked about last week, which is the utter implosion of the Democratic Party, because this just went sideways for them like you wouldn't believe. But before we get into that, I would like to ask all of you who are men and women of prayer to lift up Brother Douglas's wife. She got some news from the doctor, and we know that we serve a God who is unconcerned with the proclamations of men. She knows what it is to have faith. She knows what it is for God to heal. She has experienced God's healing on more than one occasion. And we know that God is able to do it once more. So please, I ask you, join me in praying for Brother Douglas's wife, as well for Brother Douglas, for strength, for peace through this storm. Because it's never, it's easy to say words of comfort. But even when you are sincere and honest in the words of comfort that you speak, unless you put yourself in the position of the individual or of the spouse of the individual, or unless you've gone through something like this on a personal level, you just don't know what it's like. It's incredibly painful. To be told that either the person you love or you yourself have a limited time left on this earth, and that there is nothing that man can do. The hopeful reality, however, the thing we know beyond doubt, is that we serve a God who begins where man ends. When things seem impossible to man, we know that the word tells us all things are possible with God. And so we pray and we fast and we have faith and we believe that God will touch Brother Douglas's wife, and that once again his healing power will restore her to health. I've known Brother Douglas and his wife for a long time. We've become fast friends, and they're always in my prayers. And so, please, I ask you, if you're listening to this program now or later, as it is being recorded, just remember Brother Douglas and his wife in your prayers. Oh, so, yeah, Thursday. And apparently the circus was not in town, because the whole circus was in Washington, D.C., of all places. And were it not so grotesque, were it not so horrid a thing to watch people who subsist on taxpayer money laugh and giggle because they thought they had it in the bag, because they thought this would be the nail in the coffin of a good and decent man. One would think, you know, at least they just want to get at the truth. But from the get-go, you saw the pictures of the Democrats laughing and hucking it up, because in their minds, all that needed to be done was for the fat lady to sing. And once the fat lady had sung, she would have sung the tune that they wanted. And therefore, Judge Kavanaugh would hang his head in shame and never more be heard from again. And that would teach Donald Trump to nominate a conservative to the Supreme Court. Now, we talked about the reason why somebody would come out with false allegations against another human being. And I know that there are some of you who continue to play by touch football rules when the other side is playing full contact. You will always lose. You will always be felled. You will always be trod underfoot if you continue to play by touch football rules while they're tackling you to the ground. I was talking about this with my little brother less than an hour ago. The man has more wherewithal than I would have exhibited given the circumstances. He didn't give up. He showed up and he testified and he proved his innocence. Imagine the onslaught. Imagine having to explain this to your children. Imagine all of this. And yet, the man didn't say, I don't want any part of this. He showed up because, to him, his integrity and his reputation are what define him. And so he could not take the easy way out. He could not simply throw his hands up and go, all right, I'm done. Now, I didn't think that Christine Blasey Ford would show up, but there's nothing like Hollywood stars and starlets making videos on your behalf, encouraging you to speak out and telling you that they believe you, to make you get on an airplane and come on over. Now, again, it's a small thing, but it sort of lays the foundation of the bigger thing. The reason they couldn't have this last week was because she said she never flew. It had traumatized her. She was so traumatized that she could never more fly. Well, it was proven today that she flies a lot, and she goes on family vacations, and she flies basically everywhere all around the world. So that was a big fat lie. Now, I'm not calling her a big fat liar, but if the big fat shoes fit, well, you know the rest of the story. So, she shows up, and if you haven't seen this, there's this weird thing where she uses like a child's voice, I don't know. She waves at adoring fans. She seems very comfortable for a woman distressed. And then, you know, she tells her story, and she insists that she was fondled, if not groped, by none other than Kavanaugh, even though everyone else that she named as witnesses say, didn't happen, wasn't there, sorry, didn't see it, never heard of it. And then Brett Kavanaugh comes to defend his honor, and I saw a grown man cry, and I sort of teared up too. Not when he was defending himself so much as when he started talking about the impact this would have on his daughters and on his reputation and on the fact that he would likely not ever be able to coach the girls' basketball team again because of what had been done to his name and his family and to his reputation. And as the Democrats are wont to do, more often than not, they overplayed their hand so horribly that after the man's rebuttal, they really had no comeback. Tell me one comeback that was of any weight after the man's denouncement of his guilt and his insistence on his innocence. Now, what, last night and the night before, two other accusations miraculously popped up. But again, it's not even that they jumped a shark. It's that they jumped the ocean that the shark was in. We went from light over the clothing groping to rape trains and gang rapes and things that normal people don't attend, don't participate in, never witness, never mind go back to. But see, this is how diseased these people are. There had to be allegations so gruesome in their detail, so horrendous, that they would make this man simply slink away. How can you disprove a negative? There was never any evidence of any of this. Now, one bright spot, and I saw, I watched it, I have to admit, I watched it right before coming on, because I keep getting texts from people, did you see Lindsey Graham? I'm like, I don't want to see Lindsey Graham. I've always had a certain opinion of Lindsey the Gentleman Graham. But after watching the video of what he did at this hearing, you know what? Bravo. Not going to say he's my new BFF, but he redeemed himself a little bit, because he said what pretty much every honest individual was thinking. This is absurd on its face. This is nonsense. This is a sham, and it has to stop. It has to end. So I do believe that after tonight, two things are going to happen. I think that the Democrats are going to get slaughtered in November. I think that the numbers that they're looking at, thinking that they have a chance of eking out any sort of win in the House or in the Senate, are complete folly. Because, man, anyone with an ounce of humanity still in them, I'm not talking about a good person. I'm not talking about a Christian. I'm talking about anyone. Anyone with an ounce of humanity in them, after seeing this man's testimony and seeing him break down in tears, defending himself, his honor, his integrity. Anyone with an ounce of humanity, I don't think, could bring themselves to pull the lever for any Democrat come November elections. That's just my personal feeling right now. I think that they didn't just overshoot. They botched this in such a splendid manner that I think even people who thought they had a chance at running for president in 2020 will have this hanging over their heads. It was beastly. It was grotesque. It was something that a Senate confirmation was never intended to be. And to see guys like Blumenthal just laugh and smile before it all started, because to them, man, they had it in the bag. This was going to be it. Public lynching 101. Throw dirt, throw dirt, throw dirt. But a decent man stood up for himself. A decent man defended his honor. A decent man defended his integrity. A decent man defended the integrity of his family. And they were not prepared for that. Prepared for him to come out swinging. Because every time they'd encountered Brett Kavanaugh, He was this mild-mannered, studious, gentlemanly fellow who was soft-spoken, who was just a lovable dork who loves the law and loves the Constitution. But when he walked into that confirmation hearing today, there were no smiles. There were no soft edges. And you know what? If somebody impugned my good name, if somebody impugned my integrity, if someone tried to destroy me and my family, I'd have to restrain myself to show that level of anger. Because some people, look at that. He's so forceful. Tried to destroy his life. And now he's forceful? But see, some of these people are just, this is why they can never come close to the seat of power again. They are mental. Insanity has gripped them. And seeing what they're capable of energizes me to do what I can to keep them from attaining power again. Now, I know that many Christians are taking the I'm going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs and see what happens attitude. And if you're in that boat, then never more should you be able to open your maw and complain about what's going on. If you're unwilling anything to defend goodness and truth, then you deserve for evil to take over and make your life a living hell. Now, while all this charade was going on, a Muslim mob just stoned three Christians to death in Kenya. Because, see, even though this sham circus, this grotesque carny show was put on today, the world is still spinning and horrible things really are happening around the globe. No, they're not retrieved memories. Actual horrible things. An Islamist mob stoned three Christians to death in Western Kenya this week in apparent retaliation for the recent killing of three suspected Al-Shabaab militants. An eyewitness said that the killing happened at a construction site where one of the Christian victims, Frederick Mukanda Bahati, was building a house along with two assistants. The men were mixing mortar in Mandera, which is a town close to Kenya-Somalia border, when they saw the mob arriving. From a distance, I saw the men hurling construction stones towards Frederick and his co-workers, the unnamed witness said. The three managed to flee into a nearby hotel for safety, although they had been badly injured. The Muslims relentlessly followed them up and stoned them to death. Because this is what mob rule looks like. This is what mob rule eventually begets you. It's astounding to me that every moron in the mass media applauds the notion of mob rule nowadays. When this is the end result of mob rule, just kill anything you don't like. You find them, you chase them, you stone them, and you kill them. Mob rule. And by the way, the media. Has there ever been the history of mankind. A more disingenuous, disgust group of ne'er-do-well hypocrites than today's mass media. You have men, and I use the term because technically they're men, like Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon, acting chagrined at the allegations when they themselves practice indecency every day of the week. And every single one of these people treated these allegations as though they were fact. No, allegations are allegations until there is evidence to prove the allegations. It is an allegation. Innocent until proven guilty. Not the way, other way around. But this whole thing has become a circus, and we're getting so close to mob rule in this country. And I had somebody message me on Facebook and say, hey, your grandpa talked about this. I'm like, I know. You think it's close? I said, I hope not. But unfortunately, it looks it. Kavanaugh gets confirmed, which right now seems very likely. And the Democrats lose big in November, and the Republicans gain a supermajority. The only thing they will have left is violence. That's it. That's the only thing they can resort to, is out-and-out violence. You have Maxine Waters already encouraging people to chase them out of restaurants, chase them out of gas stations, chase them out of everywhere. And you know what? People took it to heart. It's out of a restaurant by a mob. And the only reason that it hasn't resorted to violence yet is because these unhinged people are still clinging to some semblance of hope that perhaps, you know, Kavanaugh doesn't get confirmed, and then they win in November, and then they win in 2020, and they get to put their own person on the Supreme Court, because that is their fear. A conservative majority. Because they have used the Supreme Court to bludgeon the will of the people in this country for the better part of 30 years. Every time a law was passed that the other side didn't like, they ran to the Supreme Court. Because they knew it was almost an even split. Sometimes, they won it. Now, not going to be so easy for them. And they're terrified. They're terrified that this man will get confirmed and he will take his seat on the Supreme Court and their God will be threatened. Not just with having limitation placed upon him. Their God will be threatened with destruction itself. And that they cannot have. Just watch the madness grip these people every time you start talking about ending abortion in this country. Now, most of the people, their gender being female for the most, incest about the idea of doing away with abortion or outlawing abortion or overturning Roe versus Wade. Tragically, will likely never feel the touch of a man. I'm just going to put that out there. Let's just say that perhaps they were blessed with intellect, but not looks. So the women screaming loudest about abortion on demand anytime, anywhere, for whatever reason, will likely never have to cross that bridge. And yet they're the most passionate and vociferous when it comes to the murder of an innocent baby. Strange times, dear friends, strange times. Now, the witness said that the mob was chanting Takbir, 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 the title for the Arabic phrase Allahu Akbar. We all know that phrase well because it is said shortly before very ugly, nasty, and atrocious things take place, like the stoning death of three Christians. The brutal killing has left the local community stunned and angry. We're not safe at all, and this incident shows how Muslim hate believers in Christ. That is an understatement. Again, there is a difference between full contact and touch football. If you think you're playing touch football and the other side is playing full contact, this is what it'll come to. You being chased through the streets because you don't believe that a three-year-old is old enough to determine whether they're a boy or a girl. Or you believe that since your daughter was born a daughter, she's a girl. Mob mentality. This is what it leads to. This article continues and it says that we have known it is the armed militants belonging to the El Shabaab that kill people. And again, this is the perfect illustration of someone who thought they were playing touch football when all the while it was full contact. This is what this person says. Listen very carefully and tell me if you spot it. We have known it is armed militants belonging to the El Shabaab that kill people, but now we have discovered that even our close Muslim friends can commit atrocities against us. You thought them your friends. You thought them your close Muslim friends. They've always thought you their enemy. They've always thought you their mortal enemy. And that's the difference, children, between someone who thinks that they're playing touch football while the other side is playing full contact. Because I keep hearing, and I hope they're well-meaning Christians, that we have to reason with these people, that we have to make them see the light, because we think they're our friends. They think you're their enemy. How do you think that's going to end? Now, Wycliffe Mukanda, Frederick's brother, expressed his sorrow over the incident as well as distress over the inability of law enforcement to protect local citizens. This is a sad day in our family, Mukanda said. We have lost a man who was skilled in construction and loved all of us. Well, yeah, priorities. He always reminded us to pray and trust God even in difficult times. That is what is keeping us going after losing him. We were expecting to see him before the end of the year, but now what we have is the memories, a widow and two children to take care of, he said. Christians have often been the targets of Islamist violence in Kenya, despite the nation's Christian majority. Earlier this month, jihadists of the Al-Shabaab terror group hijacked a bus heading to Garissa and ordered all the passengers to exit the vehicle. The assailants asked for ID cards, then proceeded to separate the Muslims from the Christians. When two Christians refused to recite the Islamic statement of faith, or Shahada, they were executed. International Christian Concern said it has been following up with the families of these two murdered Christians. This group's intense hatred and violence has caused massive pain for many families and friends of Christians like these two. Well, that is an understatement, is it not? Now, another thing that I want to point out to you is that the Muslims in Kenya are the minority. And yet, they act as though they are the majority because they're so vocal. Think on that. A vocal minority is going around killing a silent majority. Let that sink in. Because this is exactly what's happening in these United States of America. You have a very vocal minority that is dictating terms. You have a very vocal minority that cannot abide the will of the people, and so they're doing everything in their power to slow it down, to temper it, to undo it. Now, the latest thing is that when they saw that this was going sideways for them, somebody released the Senate Judiciary Committee Republicans' addresses and phone numbers on Wikipedia pages. Apparently, this happened after Lindsey Graham just went ballistic. If you haven't seen it, it's worth going to see. I never thought I would see Lindsey the Gentleman Graham go that hardcore, but he did. Now, the skeptical side of me, the pragmatic, if you will, side of me, thinks that once he saw Kavanaugh's impassioned testimony, Lindsey Graham knew exactly where this was going. You see, they'd planned to have the individual who questioned Blasey Ford question Kavanaugh as well. But apparently, after the testimony of Judge Kavanaugh, Lindsey the Gentleman Graham could not contain himself, and he just tore into the Democrats like a honey badger into a carcass, man. It was beautiful. And again, it's the cynical me, skeptical me, pragmatic me, says that he saw where this was going. And he saw it as the perfect opportunity to land a good punch and regain some of his reputation. Now, the not-so-skeptical me says, you know what? Even a jaded politician like Lindsey Graham has to say enough's enough. But either way, it was gorgeous. Anyway, several Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee had their home addresses and phone numbers released to the public on their Wikipedia pages during Thursday's hearing on Judge Brett Kavanaugh's nomination. Senator Mike Lee, Orrin Hatch, Lindsey Graham all had their addresses and phone numbers released According to Caleb Hull, editor of the Independent Journal Review, the wife of Mr. Hatch has been receiving calls nonstop on her birthday, and their home address was made public. Now, there is a continuation to this story, and that is that someone on Capitol Hill did this. It came from a congressional computer. So someone, a congressional staffer or a higher up, used a congressional computer and they released the private home addresses and telephone numbers of three Republican senators. So, I do believe that someone needs to investigate this, and someone needs to go to jail. Because when they felt it going against them, when they saw that they were losing it, pulled out another stop. It's astounding to me that the other side has no bottom to its depravity. That's the scary part. I think that's when it's going to come to a head, because they don't know when to stop. Their nature will not allow them to stop. So they're going to get more and more desperate. They're going to get more and more volatile. And the fringes, those who were just barely hanging on, are completely going to lose it. Now, apparently, tomorrow, they vote on Kavanaugh. And John Cornyn of Texas, who is the Senate Majority Whip and on the Judiciary Committee, says he is optimistic that Kavanaugh has the votes. Now, I think that Lindsey Graham threw down in such a way where it'll be hard for any Republican to vote against the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh. I have to read some of this, because it was, like I said, I never expected it from Lindsey Graham of all people. I think if anyone, Ted Cruz would have done it. Lindsey saw the open. Lindsey saw the open before Ted Cruz did, and oh man, was it beautiful. All right, let's read a little bit about this, because I think it was a turning point. Not as far as the public goes, but I think the Senate Republicans. I think anyone that thought about bucking the trend, as it were, or trying to be PC after this one is very unlikely to do so. So, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, charged in a fiery speech during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on Thursday that the sexual assault allegations led by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh amount to the most unethical sham since I've been in politics, quote unquote. Senator Graham noted that 23 minutes after President Trump nominated Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court, Senator Chuck Schumer, of all people, said he will oppose Kavanaugh's nomination with everything he has because the stakes are simply too high. What, pray tell, are the stakes? You know this. Come on. If Chucky Schumer knew what the stakes were, and he acknowledged the fact that they are too high, likewise should have known. Or should know, at least. It's shifting the balance. there will be a conservative majority on the Supreme Court for the first time in a very long time. That's their worst case scenario playing out. The South Carolina senator knocked ranking member Senator Dianne Feinstein for knowledge of the sexual allegation against Kavanaugh during this meeting, his meeting with her, and the fact that she had already recommended lawyer Deborah Katz to Christine Blasey Ford, the woman that now accuses Kavanaugh of assaulting her. Graham blasted Feinstein, saying that she could have come to the Senate Republicans about this accusation well before the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings, and instead contended that Feinstein wants to destroy Kavanaugh's nomination. All true. Not one thing that he said is a lie. This is exactly what happened. And this is a quote by Lindsey Graham. If you wanted an FBI investigation, then you could have come to us. But what you wanted to do was to destroy this guy's life, hold the seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You've said that. Graham went on, not me. Yes, she actually said that. Senator Graham noted that he voted for both Obama's Supreme Court nominees, Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, and said that he would have never subjected them to these allegations as Feinstein did to Kavanaugh. Graham charged that this is the most unethical sham he has ever witnessed as a senator. I would have never done to them what you have done to this guy, Senator Graham said. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics, and if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as hell wouldn't have done the same thing you did to this guy. Graham continued, I cannot imagine what you and your family have gone through. Boy, y'all want power. I hope you never get it. Indeed. Again, Senator Graham, I'm actually saying the following words. Senator Graham is right. Lindsey the gentleman Graham got this one right. They want power at any cost. Because unlike the Republicans, when Democrats come into power, they wield it with viciousness. They wield it with determined violence. See, when the Republicans get power, they don't know how to use it. They play touch football. When the Democrats get power, they're full contact. Now, Lindsey Graham continued, and I think that November will bear out that, yes, the American people see through this sham. Because he said, I hope you never get it, which saying the power. I hope the American people see through this sham, that you knew about it and held it. You had no pretension of protecting Dr. Ford. None. She is as much of a victim as you are. When it comes to this, you're looking for a fair process. You came to the wrong town at the wrong time, my friend, Graham said. I've been through hell and then some, Kavanaugh said in response to Graham's question about the nomination process. Kavanaugh, in his opening statement, lambasted Senate Democrats for turning the Supreme Court nomination process into a political witch hunt. Kavanaugh said, this confirmation process has become a national disgrace. You have replaced advice and consent with search and destroy. And this is why I do believe that Judge Kavanaugh will make a good Supreme Court justice, because he's a decent man who's gone through hell simply to defend his good name. I don't know if I would have had the wherewithal to endure what this man endured, knowing that I'm wholly innocent. I don't know if I would have thought it worth it. And one of the most telling things about this man and his family is that he started talking about his daughters. And he started tearing up when he said that his 10-year-old daughter was praying for the woman accusing him of sexual assault. As he said, that's a lot of wisdom for a 10-year-old. There is no boundary which the other side will not cross. There is no low to which they will not go for power. Make no mistake. This is all about power. Naked, unadulterated power. They feel it slipping away from them. They realize that one of the levers they've had for so long that they could pull at any time will be taken away from them. They can't go back to the Supreme Court to make it say what they want it to say anymore. And they fear that this man will not only side with morality and goodness and justice, he'll have the temerity to start chipping away at Roe versus Wade, at the murder mills, and at all the things that make this nation less than what it could be. So, yes, I hope this man gets confirmed tomorrow. I hope the charade is over. I guarantee you that leftists and Hollywood types and all of these will seethe and rage, because that's what they do. But if they have no power, they're going to seethe and rage until they resort to violence, and that's when another decision needs to be made. Do we allow for violence to be done to us? Or do we end it swiftly and without equivocation? Because if we don't end it swiftly and without equivocation, if we try to justify violent means and violent ends, then the revolution that was foreseen by my grandfather back in, 1984, will come to pass in very short order. It's a sad day in America. Even with this hearing behind, even with Brett Kavanaugh laying out his case for his innocence, it is still a sad day for America, because it's come to this, where last-minute, decades-old, uncorroborated allegations are fodder. And there is a attempt to destroy not only the reputation but the life of a decent man for nothing more than political gain. It's a sad day. Strange how you couldn't find one person to say anything negative about this man. after being in public life for, what, 24 years? And when they saw that he was about to get confirmed, apparently he was, I don't know, a worse sexual predator than the Marquis de Sade. Any evidence? No, none at all. Any corroboration? No, none at all. But see, they thought that with this entire Me Too movement, just an allegation would be enough. Just say it. Say he did it. That's all you have to do. They didn't expect him to fight back, and he did. And you know what? I think the nation is the better for it because he did. Because had this man just walked away, thrown up his hands and goes, this isn't worth it. Because what human being in their right mind would put themselves through this? For what? But see, there's a nobility there. And it's a nobility that we have to respect. Now, the latest thing to come out is, of course, a tweet by President Donald Trump, because it's not a Thursday without a tweet. And it says, Judge Kavanaugh showed America exactly why I nominated him. His testimony was powerful, honest, and riveting. Democrats' search and destroy strategy is disgraceful, and this process has been a total sham and effort to delay, obstruct, and resist. The Senate must vote. And apparently they took him, or at least his advice, to heart, and they are voting tomorrow. So, what next? We shall see. Because one other thing that we must realize is that the devil never sleeps. Darkness doesn't give up easy, and pushing, hoping to find us at ease, hoping to find us comfortable, hoping to find us asleep, hoping to find us unaware. Because it has but one to consume everything. And this is why we must fight back against the darkness. I was actually on Facebook, which I never do. I'm very rarely on Facebook. Last night I got on, and an old friend said, maybe it's time to drop Kavanaugh and go on to somebody else. Do you think they wouldn't have done the same thing to anybody else? See, but you don't just drop a good man. Because there aren't that many good men left. You can't afford to just do away with a decent, noble human being. Because there aren't that many decent, noble human beings left. And after all their stunts and after all their machinations, I do believe that the American people will punish the Democrat Party come November. Because I do believe that most people are hardworking, honest individuals who just want to raise their families and feed their kids and live in a country where you are innocent until proven guilty, and not guilty until proven innocent. People want to live in a country where they talk about kangaroo courts happening in other nations. They don't watch kangaroo courts in their own nation. People want to live in a country where mob mentality is something discussed but never practiced. Because once we give in to mob mentality, then it gets very ugly very quickly. If you don't believe it, I'm just going to remind you about what happened in Kenya, something we discussed less than 40 minutes ago. A mob chased down and stoned to death three Christians. Christians who, up until the moment that they saw rocks flying at their face, believed that the people throwing them with their friends. That's what the man said. People who we thought were our friends are now murdering us. That is what mob mentality does. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. May God bless you. May God keep you. Please keep Brother Douglas's wife in your prayers. And Lord willing, we will see you next week. Until then, Gino, it's all yours.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Great show to what you're mentioning about Kenya. Yeah, we happen to be there in the middle of that. And it was all politically based. And we see the same mentality happening in America, where the demonization of decent people and conservative people is happening right before our eyes. And again, it all, to me, is leading towards what Dimitri said, that in America, one day there'll be a revolution. And again, I agree with Mike as well, that the evil and the forces that would try to destroy the values in our country are unrelenting libelists and unrelenting slander and trying to destroy a good person, a decent person and family. And, you know, it's really time that people make their vote count. Like Mike said, there should be an overthrow of the principles that the Democratic Party stands for. There should be an absolute revulsion to what they stand for. There should be a revulsion to the gay rights they support, the killing of the preborn. Should be a revulsion in the tactics they use. And so I'm 100% agreeing that we have to, as the church, stand up, speak up, and make our voice known and our vote known come November. So I think these programs are very critical and important that we address these issues and fight for our nation. So with that, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast with Michael Boldea.